Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love school uniforms. I was amazed at how fussy my young children were as they before they were in school, about what they would wear. My son, even before he could read, came to the conclusion that words on shirts make shirts more cool. And so he would like to pick out those shirts in his closet that had words on them. My daughter, having her own sense of fashion, began throwing fits when we suggested that neon shorts in January were, was not a good idea. But then school came. Fortunately, at St. Paul's, they have uniforms. So the big question then was, wear blue or khaki on the bottom, and maroon, blue, white, or yellow on top, always either an Oxford or a sports shirt. I thank God for school uniforms. It's made our dressing in the morning much simpler. The Apostle Paul tells about the uniform of a Christian in our text that was just read a moment ago, but it has very little to do with outward clothing. What should be part of the wardrobe of every Christian put on a daily basis? Paul expresses it in this way. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing with one another and forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all of these things, put on love, which binds them together in perfect harmony. Quite a wardrobe. But where, we must ask, is this wardrobe to be found so that we may put it on and wear it? You obviously don't find it in the mall, even in, you know, the high pricey stores. Don't even find it at the seminary clothing bank. No, this language of Paul is grounded in Paul's discussion of holy baptism that precedes the words of our text. There, Paul writes of this sacrament in a very similar way that he wrote to the Romans in chapter 6. For in Colossians 2, Paul writes these words. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Baptism, therefore, is the basis for the language of our text. The verses immediately preceding our text, the putting off of certain things, greed, envy, all of that. And in the words of our text, the putting on of compassion, kindness, patience, and the like. These, however, are very foreign to us. They aren't in our wardrobe automatically, nor can we purchase them. No, by nature, we are quite the opposite of kind, compassionate, lowly, meek, patient, forbearing, and certainly not by nature, forgiving. These, however, are not foreign to our Lord Jesus Christ. They are of his very nature. We see each of them in his righteous life, especially in the death that he died for all of us unrighteous sinners. We see in him kindness, compassion, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearance, and especially in his death, forgiveness. Through Christ's gracious union with us in holy baptism, that which belongs by nature to him graciously becomes ours. His compassion, his kindness, his lowliness, his meekness, his patience, his forgiveness, his love, all of this and more becomes ours when we are united with him in baptism. As Paul says in a few verses preceding our text, you have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This new man is none other than Christ. He is our new identity, who we truly are now by virtue of holy baptism. Our old man, or as Luther so affectionately calls him, our old Adam, our sinful nature, is now alien, and alien that we struggle against because of the new man, Christ, alive in us. It is noteworthy that Paul emphasizes the importance of the word of Christ dwelling in us. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing songs and psalms and spiritual songs in thankfulness, with your hearts filled with thankfulness to God. The word of God, Paul talks about as the word of Christ. Isn't that interesting? The word of Christ. And then just a verse later, he says, singing psalms. Notice how Paul understands the psalms to be the word of Christ. He understands this because as a Jewish Christian, he understands that the scriptures all point to Christ. That if they are given to reveal Christ to us. And if we are using them in a way that is not revealing Christ to us, we are misusing them. Whether the scriptures are read, preached, or sung, Christ is at the center and is revealed as our compassionate and forgiving Lord. And then they are truly, the Word of God is truly doing that which it was given to us to do, to bring Christ to us and with him forgiveness. There's a tendency, though, among we Christians to limit the work of Christ for us to his atoning death on the cross. That's great work, but the work of Christ certainly didn't end there, not from a biblical perspective. For not only did Christ give his life for us, not only did he die for us, and in that act atone for all of our sins, but he now lives in us and for us. And certainly that is one of the emphases of holy baptism. Not only is our justification accomplished by Christ at the cross, but he is also the source of our sanctification. Our baptism is not just a jump start to our life in Christ. It continues to be a source of life that is to pervade our everyday activity. And indeed, that's why Paul writes to these Colossians who've been baptized, put on these things. He's basically saying, put on Christ, who is compassion, kindness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. Why? Because Christ has already been given us in our baptism. This is just another passage that no doubt inspired Luther in his explanation to holy baptism about daily drowning the old Adam in the waters of our baptism that the new man may live and shine forth in us. Of daily putting on that which has already been given us in our baptism, namely Christ Jesus. When he is put on, when we live in the power of our baptism, then he shows himself forth in kindness, compassion, patience, and most of all, love. And no doubt, It is precisely the baptismal reality that inspired Paul to write at the end of our text, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Certainly Paul isn't saying, invoke the name of Jesus over everything you do. But rather, he is understanding and emphasizing that the Christian who has received the divine name in baptism then lives out that baptismal reality, that bearing of Christ in all that he does. Do it in the name is nothing less than do it in the power of your baptism. Do it in the name in which you have been baptized and that you now bear, as you bear the name of him who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, seminary communities, you have a lot of people who are either pastors or studying to be pastors, and there is that easy tendency among us to think, oh, I mean, they know all this stuff. You know, they have their own kindness and compassion and love because they have a vigorous relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not as much of a need here for me to be sharing this compassion and kindness and patience. Not as much of a need for me to be forgiving. After all, everybody has this relationship with Christ. They're preparing to do this as a pastor. It sounds, however, more like a temptation by Satan than a true teaching of the Spirit. For every community of saints, including this one, is a community of sinners. A community of sinners that needs this compassion, this kindness, this patience, forbearance, this forgiveness, not only individually from our Lord, but shared by one another. We saw it just in our community last week. In the midst of your studies, some of you preparing for a Greek midterm, here is the need for compassion right in our own community as homes are being flooded. I was thankful to see many students, in spite of all the pressure of studies, going down there, showing love, showing compassion for people they've never met, never knew. Indeed, there are many opportunities, and there will be each day, to not only remember our baptism, but to put on our baptism, putting on Christ Jesus, bearing with one another, living out our daily uniform of kindness, lowliness, compassion, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and most of all, love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.